May 16, 2005. This is the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety, and we have some work sessions today. And before we get into the first one, we can get a few remarks on format from Deborah Manthe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, at each of your places under the agenda, you should have a packet for each of the bills before you. It consists of a memo addressed to you from me. Also attached to these packets are something that are called the Work Session Action Report and a performance measure listing for each of the agencies. Due to the size of these agencies and the amount of things we have on our agenda, I'm going to work off the memo. I'm going to go through the memo with you. This might be a little bit different than what the other budgets that come before you will do, but again, I think this will work well for these particular ones. At each point, there's two sections to the memo. First is the budget section, and then there's the performance measure section, and then we can move the bill out pending any adjustments that you'd like to make to the legislative fiscal recommendation.
Okay.
And that's kind of an overview.
All right. Well, why don't we begin then? We'll open a work session on House Bill 5105, which relates to the fee bill for the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and 51. I guess we'll take individual.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the easy one, I think, for today, so it's good we're starting with this one. House Bill 5105 is the bill that ratifies the fees the Board of Nursing increase administratively during the interim. These are planned increases. I've laid the increases out for you in a table. Again, they were planned increases, and they were presented as part of the agency's 2003-2005 budget request. But since the fees were increased administratively, the process is they need to be ratified or they'll be rescinded. These fees will generate approximately $976,000 in 05-07, and without these fees, the Board of Nursing would have to reduce their 05-07 budget. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of House Bill 5105.
Now, it's my understanding that we have been confirmed or assured that there will be no additional fee increases in the next biennium. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The clarification for their mate, the Board of Nursing, as you see when we move to their budget, has a fingerprinting bill that's been approved, and there will be a fee established for that. But for their base operations, the Board of Nursing did indicate in their public hearing testimony that they had no plans to increase fees administratively.
Okay.
If that answers your question.
That's fine. So we need a motion?
Yes, sir.
I'd make a motion.
Here.
All right. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendations.
Okay. Representative Hansen has made a motion to approve the LFO recommendations on House Bill 5105. Is there discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to accepting House Bill 5105 LFO recommendations as they've been presented?
Okay, so moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Hearing none. House Bill 5105 fee bill has been carried as per the recommendations from our LFO analyst. Okay, I'll close the work session on House Bill 5105. We now open work session on House Bill 5104, which is Oregon State Board of Nursing biennial budget bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, House Bill 5104 is the budget bill for the Board of Nursing. Again, I've provided a table that shows you the historical view of this agency. We talked a lot about these things during public hearing, so I'm not going to go over those. I'm going to jump right into the adjustments to the governor's recommended budget, which would basically be discussion of the policy packages. The first package that I want to talk about, and you'll see this a lot in every budget that comes forward, is the technical adjustments. As you know, things change over time, and this is our opportunity then to kind of true things up and get some needed adjustments into the budget. This particular package for the Board of Nursing increases the governor's recommended budget by $283,813. I've displayed the individual adjustments for you in the the listing there. The adjustments include reductions for PERS and Attorney General rate changes, a shift between a couple line items to align the budget more closely with actual spending patterns, and a one-time increase to accommodate the office reconfiguration expenditures that were expected to be made in 0305, but due to project delays, will actually occur in 0507. Oops. It looks like I got myself out of order. Moving on to page two, then, of the policy packages submitted by the agency. The agency submitted four policy packages. The first one is 090, which is the governor's. I've titled it the governor's reductions. Basically, it's the board's smart buy savings of $17,719. Our recommendation is to approve that package. Package 101 is titled continuation of services. This package converts customer service-centered limited-duration positions to permanent in order to maintain service levels. It's tied to performance measures number one, number two, and number four. It also includes an increase of rent of $140,084 to accommodate a DAS-approved space plan. Our recommendation is to approve $298,638. Approve the positions but retain them as limited duration. There was considerable conversation during the public hearing about the impact that e-government might have on workload. And so our recommendation is the positions stay as limited duration. The agency can then return to the next legislative session with workload indicators that would either indicate that they needed to be permanent or not. We've reduced the PERS rate change, and that amounted to $1,041. We've also reduced the rent requested by $40,964, and this is because we just got better information from the Department of Administrative Services as this project has evolved towards, hopefully, finalization. Package number 102, investigation. This package establishes two healthcare investigator positions and increases the complaint intake coordinator to full-time, and this is to address an increasing backlog of complaint cases. Again, you spent quite a bit of time with working with the agency during public hearing discussing what the workload was for complaints. The agency estimated that the investigative workload is 22,075 hours per year. They currently have eight investigators, which is roughly translates to 16,000 hours. So you can see they have a gap between the number of investigative hours that they have worked for and the number of investigators that they actually have. So adding these two additional investigators will allow them to basically cut that gap in half. This is tied to performance measure number 9. In fiscal year 04, the agency reported that only 21% of their their cases were referred within 120 days to the board. We're recommending approval of this package. And have only and reduced it by $1,582 for the PERS rate reduction. Package 103 is titled Fingerprinting Authority. This will provide the needed expenditure limitation for the board to conduct nationwide criminal background checks on new applicants and licensees under investigation. The board proposes to establish a new fee so that the cost will offset the cost. And this actually and assumes passage of House Bill. I think it's still House Bill 2102, but I can't swear to that. We're recommending a higher amount. We're recommending approval of $742,000. And this is because when the agency prepared the budget request, the OSP fee for doing fingerprinting was, I think it was $42, and now it's gone up to $52. And from 36 to 52, if I'd read my own work papers, I'd...
Mr. Chair. Wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the Public Safety Committee, we've been looking at these costs and on background checks and everything. This is the first agency that I've seen that's added an extra dollar to their fee to process this. I'm really looking for standardization within the state on this process, and I have not seen why they felt it necessary to add a dollar to the cost.
You're saying that 36 is where it's staying in other agencies?
No, sir. I'm saying the 52. See, the rate went up from 36 to 52, but they've added an extra dollar for their administrative cost.
Oh.
Mr. Chair?
Happy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, it is true that they've added a dollar to the fee that they would have paid to Oregon State Police, and that's to account for the Board of Nursing's cost to process, so that it doesn't take away from the other things that they're doing, so that the licensing costs don't subsidize the fingerprinting fee. And you're correct. At least the ones in my agencies haven't added an extra charge on top of it.
Mr. Chair, follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Monte. But even within public safety, we're trying to look, and there's a couple of bills out there, I guess, are going to standardize this. But within the medical profession, a lot of other professions that are working with the public, we're trying to decide, do you need fingerprint? Do you need an FBI background? You know, what do you need? And so we're not having this agency do one thing and this agency do something else. We should be consistent. If you're dealing with the public, with children or whatever, we want either fingerprint or we want an FBI background check or whatever. And there are different costs, too, if you're doing the FBI check versus just the fingerprint. So I don't know what to recommend to you, Mr. Chair, or how we handle this, but and I'm not sure where the legislation is, if we've got a package that's going to standardize this, but it I think for the public and for the different commissions and boards that we're looking at, it'd be nice to standardize and say what you want. A lot of the ones we looked at in education, we're not asking for the full background investigation. They were looking at fingerprinting, you know, and again, so maybe some of them should have gone the whole way and gone background checks and things like that. It's a big problem. We want to be sure we're protecting the public. And it's great that the agency, the nursing board, wants to do this. But again, a couple of concerns I have is adding the extra dollar to their members. And second is the state needs to standardize and identify which kind of commissions, boards, professions need which kind of background checks.
Any thoughts on that, Representative Hanson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My colleague certainly raised valid points. I don't know whether again to standardize this, whether we need to be looking at each individual budget or maybe at some point the co-chair should approve a budget note that moves the state towards some level of standardization and a criteria when the various forms of background checks should be done. The other thing I'm thinking is the technology is probably going to be moving a whole lot faster than the legislature ever will be available to. I saw a little blip on television where one of the credit card companies has got thumbprints now completely replace having your card. That for their 2,000 vendors and stuff that have signed up for this credit card, all you do is just put your thumb on the machine, and that instantly coded to your account number and can either debit your account or. So I don't know. At some point, we may be to the point that fingerprint identification is going to be so commonplace that how we're working it now may be almost moot. But I think some level of standardization, but I don't think it's necessarily that we can, I don't think we can standardize each budget as we go through, but the co-chairs should identify it as a budget note somewhere.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that one aspect before we move on? We're not dealing with a motion yet, so let's go and proceed, and then we'll deal with all of that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, that concludes the reviewing of the policy packages. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an other funds budget of $9,500,321.45, 44.25 FTE, and that House Bill 5104 be amended accordingly.
I don't know.
Mr. Chair?
Before we go forward with a motion on this, I would like to
have some discussion about some aspects that came out during the course of our our working in phase one and phase two. There's been a reference by Ms. Manthe that there's been some adjustments and that there's going to be some funds carry over that weren't spent during the current biennium, but my understanding of what actually took place is that there was $325,000 of funds that were approved for expenditure 2 years ago that were not mentioned to us in our committee during the course of our phase one and phase two deliberations, that these funds were essentially, there was an agreement that was proposed between the Board of Nurses and DAS whereby these funds would be kind of taken off budget, moved to DAS, and then during the next biennium, DAS would use the money to expend in for the benefit of facilities of the Board of Nursing. And this caused me some concerns because I want complete open and transparent information for this committee if we're going to be able to deal with budgets. Especially, let me just share with you, I went back to the 72nd Legislative Assembly Joint Ways and Means Budget Report, and it refers to a package 104, which was presented 2 years ago by the Board of Nursing, and it says office reconfiguration includes one-time expenditures to reconfigure existing space, increasing capacity for employee growth. And so they were given the money, and then they come back to us and they say, we have no room for employee growth. And so what are we going to do? We need to have 3,000 more usable space, and it's going to cost $140,000. Representative Hannah then did the basic math with $1.40 a foot and says, wait a second, this is 4,180 some feet, not 3,000. And they said, oh, well, that's because we're talking about usable feet, but what you really have to do is rent 4,100 and what was the actual number? Oh, no, here it is. 4,169 feet were requested, and so 27% of the available footage was going to be used for common area, and so the nurses' fees are buying 27% of their footage that they'll never use because it's just all part of what the building requires, which is something that in the private sector would be, you know, a bit excessive if you were trying, if you're paying that out of your own bottom line. So it kind of took a while to bring this all together, and I've been concerned about this because what I would have expected is that I would be told, that this committee would be told, here's the situation. We were given money last time. We chose not to spend it. I mean, for one of the reasons, one of the things that was brought up 2 years ago was that it was needed for establishing a computer room, that there needed to be appropriate ventilation to cool the computer equipment. Well, when Representative Hannah, Representative Wisnat, and myself went to the facilities in Portland, they still had this large closet with all their servers in it, and then they have a huge UPS, an uninterrupted power source, which produces, I think, 250 to 280 watts of heat, and then they had the piping for the ventilation pulled out of the ceiling and hanging down so that it would blow on the battery. It's a huge, what it is, it's a huge battery backup system, so that it could kind of keep the temperature down. And yet this was important enough that 2 years ago they asked for funds to take care of that, and then for 2 years nothing's happened with it, and the money has been just kind of set aside for future use, but it was obtained with the representation that it was needed now, and it was needed so that there wouldn't have to be additional space. And it's implicit when you say for increasing capacity for employee growth, but the growth of employees is what's being requested now. And so anyway, I felt a little unhappy about not having open and clear disclosure of all this information, and we still wouldn't have known about this had Representative Hannah not, and I don't remember who did it, but we want to see the leaks, because we felt it was inappropriate that so much money was being spent for a common area, and then it wasn't until the lease came over to LFO that now it starts coming out that there was additional money and that this money is being going to be going to DAS, and DAS will be spending it on them in the next biennium. Anyway, all of this did not set well with me because I felt it was a breach of the open complete disclosure that is needed for us to deal with budgets. So I would like to invite the director, Ms. Burchard, to come forward, and maybe she could explain why that's necessary, or why this took place, with any assistance you'd like to have from your staff. Also, we went up to the space that you presently occupy, and we toured it, and you had said in the course of your presentation that you need two more interview rooms. And when we get there, we find that there's four interview rooms, and two of them are only utilized. The other two, one had storage, and I believe the other had a refrigerator. You know, I'm not real clear on that, but there were four rooms available, and only two are in use. And so that also wasn't disclosed at the time. You're saying that we need two more interview rooms because we've got to be able to do our work better. So having gone through all of that and seen the space, and at the time that we went there, there was actually two workstations that weren't being occupied at the time anyway, so it wasn't at that point you weren't even at capacity, although I assume that those were for other positions then, may have been related to for the investigators. So maybe you could respond to these concerns about utilization of space presently and the failure to disclose funds that had been approved for a certain purpose that were not utilized for that purpose during the last 2 years.
Chair Richardson, for the record, my name is Joan Burchard. I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon State Board of Nursing. And I feel badly that this issue has come up and that it looked that we were trying to misrepresent the agency. That was never the intent of this agency to do that. We had saved money this biennium to make the changes that we needed to make. It became apparent to us after our budget was solidified in December that the project was not going to be completed by June 30th. So we went to DAS and said, well, first of all, we said this project has to be completed by June 30th. And they said, there's no way that it's going to be able, we're going to be able to do it by June 30th. So we said, well, what are we going to do? Because we will lose that money after that. And DAS came back with saying, here is an option, and here is how this is an agreement that we can make this happen. So maybe the DAS person would like to respond from DAS's perspective about this. We had felt from the very beginning that if DAS said that this was all right, that this was a legitimate way to proceed with our business for this year.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name, for the record, is Jim Gores, DAS Budget and Management. As Joan talked about there, let me just kind of run down the timeline on this issue. Since the last hearing, there's been quite a bit of discussion on this, been quite a bit of research on this. And what happened is how our budget process works on the governor's side is that the smaller agencies come forward first, submit their budgets. They are approved. They go out. The larger agencies take a little longer. They usually don't get through until November. The Board of Nursing is notoriously one of the best agents we've got in terms of timing, getting things in, et cetera. They got their budget to me, and I got it done in September of 2004. In November 2004, 2 months later, it became apparent through facilities that this project, which was supposed to have been done, as you noted earlier, much before even the September 2004, but has been delayed due to a variety of issues in the Portland State Office Building. It became obvious that it's going to have to be delayed once again. Just for reference, too, when I first got into this project issue, they were targeting an October 2004 completion date on this. So it's just due to different problems, it's been delayed and delayed. The last one, November, we're trying to put together the governor's recommended budget. They find out it's delayed again. The Board of Nursing's budget is closed in the system. What we normally would have done is we would have added on the $325,000 into their package that is just for the supplemental rent. However, because it was closed, the decision was made by DAS and BAM to move that money into the DAS facilities budget. it's not the cleanest way to do it, but that was a decision that was made by us at that time when we're trying to, during that climate, trying to get the budgets to bed so that we can meet the statutory deadline with the budgets. And so that's just like, as you're seeing a lot of, you know, the fees change, the rent suggested, there's a lot of adjustments that need to be made. That just happened to be one with us. And so it's unfortunate that it came out looking like this, but that is the story.
Okay. You've talked about, just one moment, you've talked about the project wasn't completed and so forth, as if we're carrying forward a prior project, but this biennial budget, I mean, for 05-07, is asking for an additional 4,169 square feet, which wasn't part of the prior budget and wasn't part of the prior project. And so how can you not complete the project if the project is actually being expanded for the next biennium? Aren't we talking about two different projects?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in my mind, no, we're not. But I guess the way I understand the project is that initially what was supposed to happen is that this space was supposed to be expanded for the burden nursing. Their space constraints were supposed to be taken care of in the biennium. That was supposed to be studied. The best method was supposed to be proposed, and then that was supposed to happen. In that course, things got delayed. It became obvious that they needed the extra space, and then they moved forward from there. The package that you see in front of you for space is just for the additional rent. And I can tell I'm not answering your full question.
Well,
I want to make sure I do, but...
Okay, when you say it's just for the additional rent, we're talking about an additional 4,100 square feet of rent.
Correct.
We're talking about roughly 35 to 40% increase in footage. Now, if it's usable space, you know, I'm not sure what all the numbers would be.
Right.
And so the money that was approved before for this present biennium was for, you know, was with the presentation that it would be a one-time expenditure to reconfigure existing space, which would increase the capacity for employee growth and establish a computer room. My understanding is that there's been no change in the configuration of the space in the past 2 years, and so we're not talking about unable to complete the project. It appeared to me the project wasn't even begun. Is that correct or not correct?
Chair Richardson, that is correct, because for the last 2 years we've been talking with DAS about it. We did not want to start one part of the construction. We thought we should wait and do it all together. So we did not fix the computer room. That was all part of what we were going to do, but the whole project has been delayed. And so we were going to wait and do it all together.
Okay, and the reason for the delay was that you decided that you didn't have enough footage to reconfigure and you really needed more footage? Is that what we're talking about?
Chair Richardson, that did become an issue, that we knew that we weren't going to have enough space to do it, so we decided we shouldn't start the construction until we can understand. And before that, there was no space available on the fourth floor. They said you can't expand anywhere because there's no space available. So we were going to try to do what we had to do. Then this year, that space became available because the daycare center on the first floor of the state office building became available. So then there was availability for the Board of Pharmacy to move down to first floor, which then opened up some additional space on the fourth floor.
If, committee members, what we're talking about is the money was not just to remodel. The money is planned to be used to... You know, pharmacy moves to first floor. There's a series of boards in what's called Suite 407. The nurses' registration money will be used to fix up the space that's being vacated, a part of it, by pharmacy, so that the boards that are in 407 can be moved there. And so the nurses' money actually will be used for that remodeling and to move 407 to the new space, and then to remodel the space that 407 had before so that the nurses can expand into it. And so, and none of this has been brought up to this committee before. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, when you say the budget was approved in September of 04, that's the 05-07 budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wynn, Hannah, yes, it is.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
And then, so at the original completion date of 10/04, really, as a percentage of completion, it was zero.
Correct.
And at 6/05 of June of this year, will it still be zero?
Representative Wynn, Mr. Chair, Representative Hannah, yes, it will be. They are, my understanding from the last discussion I had with DAS facilities is that they are projecting that the project will start sometime in July of 05. What has to happen first is that daycare down the first floor needs to be remodeled so that the Board of Pharmacy can move down into it. Once that starts, then it's just this domino effect. They can move the 407 suite, and then finally the Board of Nursing will go. So it probably won't be until fall of 05 that the Board of Nursing will actually be able to expend the funds to make the remodel.
Well,
Mr.
One
Chair.
More follow-up.
Okay, just Representative Hannah and then Representative Wisnett.
I guess I would like to hear the best reasoning behind when we talked about this, and we talked about it at length during our prior meetings, but we really never saw this. And whether it was a good idea or an unusual process to have the money go back to DAS and then come back to the board, when we were dancing around the whole rent issue, why didn't we talk about it?
Chair Richardson and Representative Hannah, I think that from how we were looking at it, it was this 0305 budget that we were looking at. We didn't think about it in terms of our budget for next year, and except for the increased rent, because we thought everything else was essentially in this biennium budget.
One more.
Go ahead.
Well, and I appreciate you answering that way. I guess, you know, in the future, I would say if you have $325,000 for project money and no part of that project had been completed, and you had had the discussions with DAS about how to get the money into this biennium budget, and we had as many questions as we did around rent, so much so that we visited the facility, that might trigger an idea that we probably ought to have had this conversation back then.
Chair Richardson, Representative Hannah, this is the first time that we had been in this kind of situation, and if this situation would come up again, we certainly would handle it differently. But there was no intent to try to misrepresent it. We were just thinking this was in this budget. The next budget had to do with the rent, and that's why we didn't bring it that way. I understand what you're saying. I understand your feelings about it. If this was to happen again, it would not happen like this.
Ought to mention that not all the money was for remodeling and the budget, that part of the budget. There's also $63,500 that was money that was budgeted for positions but unspent. And so it's listed as contingency, but actually this is money that wasn't spent in the current biennium for any reason that actually should have been listed as a ending balance or brought back to us because it wasn't allocated for remodeling or for this project that we're discussing, but it was put into this pool of $325,000 because it was there. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for your information and the committee's, Mrs. Monte, I think Thursday we passed out the pharmacy budget that included, didn't we, out of the subcommittee?
We just had, Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, we had public hearing.
Okay, we did not pass that.
Right.
Okay.
We haven't had work session yet.
And so they have their cost in there, and they're working on that. So
yes,
that's, this is the problem we're having with this whole thing, is impacting so many committees, and some are not, some are being heard by this committee, some are being heard by other committees. It's education, so it might be worth a meeting with DAS and the facilities person from DAS to, you know, straighten this mess out.
Well, we certainly for future, I mean, I think that we have a pretty clear understanding of what has taken place, and DAS is doing the mea culpa, you know, it's our fault, but it doesn't change the reality that their budget allowed funds so that there would not be the need for expanded footage. I mean, last time when, you know, they said increasing capacity for employee growth, and now we're approving a couple of new employees, so there's some employee growth but they also want 3,000 additional usable space for employee growth, and they're getting two new employees. And so, I mean, that's the whole thing does not, to me, look like a... It's not only has it not been handled well, but it doesn't look like an appropriate way to increase expenditures of the nurses' licensing fees, and that's what we're doing. I mean, this is not general fund money. These budgets normally just get passed, and because it's not general fund money, but the nurses have the... They deserve to have someone in the legislature, some group, watching out for them and how their fees are being expended, especially when there's a bill going around now for another $20 increase in nurses' fees. And a lobbyist met with me on that one. It hasn't come to this committee at this point. But my feeling is that it's kind of twofold. One is we can either say... 2 years ago, they came and they said that if the money was approved then, that would allow for employee growth. And so we live with what they said 2 years ago, which means zero expansion. Or we take the initiative that maybe some portion of the footage that's been requested would be appropriate since they are adding a couple of employees. And so I don't really want to be in a position of micromanaging, but on the other hand, if there is not an open disclosure of information coming to this committee, then how do we rely on the recommendations that are being made by the agency and by DAS? Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly concur that we could have sequenced out the information on this a lot better. But someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Last budget year, we allocated money for the expansion of space to accommodate new employees, and that money was primarily earmarked for the remodeling and for the upgrades.
It wasn't for expansion back then. My understanding is it was to reconfigure the space they have so that it would be better utilized. Would you clarify that?
For the record, I'm Pat Miles, budget officer. Chair Richardson, Representative Hanson. I would like to clarify, the plan that we costed and put into the 2003-2005 budget did not include any new floor space. However, it had been developed in 2001 with the number of employees we had in 2001. Unfortunately, when we were preparing our budget, which was in 2002, I personally did not look at that. I thought we had extra cubicles in there to handle the positions we were asking for 2003-2005. It did not. When we sat down in 2003 in the fall, right after we had the budget, we started putting actual people into cubicles, and we looked at the rooms available for interviews and all the assorted pieces. And we came up short. We actually came up three people short right then and there. That's when we realized that we shouldn't proceed with with that specific plan until we resolved the space issue. And in fact, that fall was when the Department of Administrative Services came to the entire building and said, "We're going to have additional space. What can we do?" We immediately said, "Hey, we'd like to get on board with this," and several other agencies did. So most of the delays, to be quite honest, have been delays in getting the other agencies, that whole daisy chain, moved. But the space planning was done in 2001, and it was not adequate, because since 2001 we've added at least four without this new budget. I believe it's four.
That graphic of putting people into cubicles is kind of going through my mind, I see. Anyway, that it kind of like herding folks into cattle stations or something. I think I can understand the sequencing, that the money that was set aside, and it sounds like we've always been a biennium off on the space needs. But the money for the improvements was put into last
last year's budget, but you were envisioning it on a smaller footprint because space wasn't available. Then circumstances changed and there's more space available. This budget is primarily for the rent for the increase. This budget increases the rent for the increased space. But the money that was passed through to DAS is for the reconfiguration dollars. Is that correct?
Chair Richardson, Representative Hansen, that's correct. The original $150,000 that was set aside for what was the project, if you will, for 2003-05 is still the same money we're sending to them. That increase over the $150,000 is because of the additional space, and we funded that through salary savings because we had difficulty recruiting several of the new positions. So they accrued as one-time savings due to those difficulties. Most of those positions, well, in fact, all of those new positions have been filled now, so we don't anticipate future savings.
Well, the question I'd like to see or like to have answered by staff and at whatever time is appropriate is the changes, Mr. Chair, that you've suggested. How will that impact you, and will you be able to still accomplish your mission with them?
Okay. Well, if there was no new space, would you be able to reconfigure your facilities as you had indicated to this committee 2 years ago in a way that would solve your problems? You know, it's kind of a loaded question, of course, because you came 2 years ago and you said, give us $150,000 and we can reconfigure our space to allow for additional employees and be able to deal, you know, if it wasn't going to work, you wouldn't have asked for the money, of course. And then I'd also like you to take into consideration in the calculation that in the last couple of years, your relicensing has gone from zero internet to 25% electronically, and that in all likelihood, in the next couple of years, we would assume that percentage of licensing that takes place not through the normal procedures which are labor-intensive, but through the internet, will actually further reduce the requirement for staff to be doing that. And so what's changed in your situation 2 years ago to now?
Chair Richardson, the main thing is that when we still, if we hadn't increased any positions this biennium, when we sat down and looked, the 2001 plan did not have enough spaces. So what would happen is what has happened over the last several bienniums when we added positions, we ended up putting people into spaces that were designated for storage, or we had multiple people within the same cubicle. You did mention we had some empty cubicles. We do have a vacancy right now that we are recruiting for. I noticed they'd put some things in there. That's because there's no storage. In fact, we rent additional storage space off-site to store things because there's no room on-site to put anything. That's really the basic bottom line. We used to have three interview rooms when we had six or seven investigators. Now we have eight investigators, and we have two plus a slightly larger room that the rest of the staff also uses for meetings. So we would be more cramped for meetings, and we would be taking over more and more the storage areas, which we have to have some basic storage.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I have to go through all this nuances because even now I don't feel like I'm getting straight information. Do you have a floor lunch facility? Is there a place on your floor that's a common area for lunches?
Richardson, there is a very small room that is available for it seats three people, and it's available there for all the floor, all of the boards on all the floor, the fourth floor.
And it seats three people?
It seats about three people.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to go any further with this. You have need for a couple of more. You've got a couple more employees. You should have room for a couple more cubicles for that. You've asked for 3,000 additional space, 3,000 square feet of additional space, which is a substantial increase of your overall facility, and you're hiring, you know, you've got two people that you're bringing in. You've saved substantial amounts of money from funded but unfilled vacancies over the past 2 years, and so if you, I mean, I even question whether or not the investigators are needed at this point, because if you had extra money and you really needed investigators, it seems like you might have come to the e-board and said, can we use, or whatever you'd need done as far as making a transfer to use that money to bring in another investigator to help take the load off of that, but in that didn't happen. You just saved the money, and you're using it as part of this unofficial carryover that's been arranged through DAS.
Hugh Richardson,
I
would like to say that the vacancies, many of those were nurse investigators, and we are having a terrible time trying to recruit nurse investigators because the salaries for nurses have gone up so incredibly in terms of private sector and in the hospitals that we are having a hard time getting nurse investigators at the salary that we can offer. So that's been a major emphasis of why we've had the vacancy rate that we've had.
Okay. Well, just help me understand that then. We're approving, is it one additional investigator or two investigators? I mean, I didn't know if one was an investigator and one was a staff member, a support person.
Well, Chair Richardson, they're both two nurse investigators.
And how many vacancies do you have presently that you're in your staff?
We had one, and we just were able to fill it.
Okay. Well, I think that the co-chairs are going to end up having to look at this, but I think it would be appropriate for us to approve some additional space that would allow for them to get some storage outside of what they have presently available, and to have enough footage for them to have space for the two new investigators that we are approving. So my feeling is that we ought not to...
Open for a motion. Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd like to make a motion then. I would be moving to reduce the LFO recommendation by $65,520 as it relates to rent. This would allow for a square footage increase in the approximate amount of 1,000 square feet.
Okay, it's been moved by Representative Hanna that we make a reduction in LFO's recommendation by the amount of $65,520, which will reduce the amount of footage that can be increased for their lease purposes to 1,000 feet. We don't know if that's going to be able to be done with the configuration of the building and those kinds of things, but this approval has to be looked at by others as we go along. So the motion's been made. Discussion. Representative Hansen.
Well, first question on, and this is just procedurally, for amendments and work session for budget purposes, do we need to see written amendments? Is this considered a conceptual amendment?
Right. In a work session, in a budget committee, we can have conceptual amendments, and LFO staff will make them fit.
I would be very interested in. It seems we're budgeting a dollar amount, but we don't know the relationship in terms of how it fits with the configuration of the rental space that's available, and I don't know if that's wise. I think. A motion I could certainly support because of the questions would be either to unschedule the $65,000 or require them to come back to the e-board for approval to spend it, but to keep somewhat flexible so that we can work with DAS and with the space limitations that are there.
Sure.
Or pot, yeah.
Okay? So if we unschedule it, it's not approved, but, I mean, what is the practical effect of that? Would you please explain that?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, as I understood the proposal, you'd be approving the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation with and requesting the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the 65-520 that Representative Hanna proposed to reduce the recommendation by, and direct the agency to work with BAS facilities on a plan that would encompass the two new positions, and that they would come back to the emergency board with that plan for approval prior to Department of Administrative Services rescheduling any ramp money. I just said any ramp money. So that would be my clarification question. Would you want all of the ramp money to be unscheduled, have the Board of Nursing come back to the emergency board with a revised plan, and then the Department of Administrative Services could reschedule whatever portion of the ramp was approved based on the new plan by the emergency board?
You know what? I feel okay about that. How do you feel about it? Would you accept a friendly amendment to that?
Well, I guess if it was up to me, if you don't want to reduce it, because by reducing it, we are recognizing their need for additional space. If you approve it, then you're going to have it coming back to the e-board with folks who have not had this dialogue in this committee and our prior hearings. If you don't want to approve the lowering of it, I would suggest remove it completely and let them come back with a new plan. But if you put it out there and say, now come back with a new plan, you're going to have a different group of people looking at this problem who don't have the familiarity that we have at this point. And a final comment would be, Representative Hansen, we the one benefit I would say is we have been to the facility. We have seen it. We kind of know where the walls are and where you could or couldn't move potentially, not understanding the building rent and so forth well enough to know. But, you know, based on the square footage, this would give them that space to be used. And that's why I make this type of recommendation. They can come back at any time with a different recommendation, but at least this gives them, says, we recognize you need space. We're going to give you the money for that much space. If it's something different, you need to come back with it. So I guess I would, if respectfully, I'd rather leave it alone. If you don't like it, no. If you,
okay.
I don't mean to be. It's just I think it's the right way to go.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you. Clarification in terms of how this kind of works with the e-board, depending on how the speaker makes her appointments to the e-board, there's a possibility that nobody will be there. But usually there's a lot of carryover in terms of relationships between Ways and Means members and the e-board, and the staff analysis will be the same. The same staff person will be, I would imagine, probably not. Okay, but certainly when something like this is highlighted in terms of why it's coming back to the e-board, there's usually a pretty lengthy explanation, and the connection is made in why the Ways and Means Committee wanted the dollars unscheduled. So I don't think that's a separate decision that will be made in a vacuum. And I certainly appreciate the fact that some of the members of the committee went to the site and had an on-site visit, and I'm sure that familiarized yourselves, you know, quite a bit. But still, there's a huge difference between terms of making a decision that may impact how they utilize their space for a decade or so, based on how tenants move and stuff in that building, between an afternoon visit and really putting a very thoughtful analysis in based on the lease, the movements of tenants, all of those things that may be intangible compared to just walking through the space. So,
okay.
Unless there's some flexibility given, I'll be a no on the amendment.
Okay. My understanding of the motion is essentially that we would be changing LFO's recommendation and approving additional amounts for a rent of $33,600 rather than the higher amount, $99,120 that was previously recommended.
That's correct.
All right. I think that we're ready for a vote. Call the roll, please.
Representative Boone?
Yes.
Representative Hannah?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Whitman?
Yes.
Chair Richardson?
Yes. That motion carries. The next item.
All right, Mr. Chair, members, we're moving on to performance measures then. The agency submitted 19 performance measures. We've added two, and you'll see these two standard customer service measures in every budget that you see before you, so it'll be a standard add that you see. So there's a total of 21, and it seems we've got recommendations on several to delete them but keep them internally. That the idea or the discussion, if I remember correctly, is that these were good measures. They were good measures to manage by, but not necessarily needed to be reported to the legislature. And so instead of reading through 21 measures, I thought that I would hit the ones that, according to my notes, we talked about deleting and keeping internally. If that's okay.
Well, why don't we have the committee just take a moment and look through these. They're on page 3, 4, and 5. And if the committee has any desire to discuss any one of them, they can. And if not, then we will proceed with a motion, because we've already actually have looked.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we accept the performance measures as recommendations as recommended.
President Hansen has moved that we accept LFO's recommendations on the changes relating to the performance measures for the Board of Nursing. Is there any objection to accepting LFO's recommendations? Seeing none, those recommendations are carried and these changes take place.
I just need a final motion to move House 5104 as amended and reported out these House as amended.
There's Hanson.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion that House Bill 5104 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Representative Hannah has made the motion that House Bill 5104 be accepted as amended and go to our House Human Services or House Budget Committee with the due pass recommendation. Call the roll, please.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Whitman?
Yes.
Chair Richardson?
Yes. Mr. Hannah, do you want to carry that to our full committee?
Please.
So, Representative Hansen, would you like to carry the first bill that we had on fees to our full committee?
I love carrying fee bills.
Okay. All right. With that, we're closing work session on 5104. Thank you for coming forward. And we are prepared to
open a work session on House Bill 5106, Commission for the Blind. Never mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Commission for the Blind, House Bill 5106 is their budget bill. Again, you should find a packet of material similar to what we just reviewed with the Board of Nursing. It consists of a memo, a work session action report, which is fairly lengthy because of the structure in the agency, as well as performance measures. Again, I'd like to just go through the memo. I think that would be a lot easier. We have, this will be the first time I think that you've seen this. There is package 802. It's titled Ways and Means Adjustment. Probably needs a better title upon reflection. But this is a 3% across the board services and supplies reduction general fund. And for this agency, it amounts to $3,322. In order not to lose federal funds, we're recommending that other funds be increased by a like amount. Again, that's to protect federal funds. As you recall, this agency is primarily federally funded, and their general fund and other funds is used exclusively for match. Package number 801 is, again, the technical adjustment package. Since the agency has so many programs and they had several technical adjustments, I've laid a table in there for you. I promise not to go through every single one. Basically, the package includes a PERS and Attorney General rate changes, various line item and program shifts to more closely align the budget with actual spending patterns. I worked with the agency on this. It includes an increase in direct services for clients by reinvesting the agency's Smart Buy savings and rate reduction savings into the vocational rehabilitation program. The idea behind that is that the other funds and the primarily other funds that was being saved could be used for match for federal funds, and we saw no reason to reduce the federal program, and so we want to reinvest it. Again, this will be direct services to clients. And I think that's it for 801. And as you can see, the total, even though there's a lot of numbers on here, the total is total funds, $10,907. Most of that is federal funds. There's no general fund being added. The agency is really simply, there's two policy packages. Package 090 is the Smart Buy savings. I've detailed that for you. That's actually the $10,907 that you see being reinvested. Again, federal funds primarily. The second package, package 101, is titled Fund Shift. What this package does is it converts four existing limited duration positions to permanent. These positions, and we talked about this during the public hearing, these positions were technically reduced out of the agency's 0305 budget. During that time, as you recall, there was a big general fund problem. And so the agency took reductions to solve the bigger statewide problem. At that time, and I'm not sure why, the backfill with other funds wasn't discussed. So they lost positions associated with the general fund reduction because they lost so much federal funds. They did come back to the emergency board. They were invited by the subcommittee to come back to the emergency board, and that was November of 2003, at which time they submitted their plan to backfill the general fund reduction with other funds, and they had these positions then established and approved as limited duration. All this package does is formalize that emergency board action and turns these positions into permanent. And that was a long, babbling explanation of that, but nonetheless.
It was thorough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have reduced the package for the PERS rate reduction, and also a technical correction. As submitted, the budget reduced special payments in discussion with the agency and the Department of Administrative Services. We all agreed it really should be professional services, so a technical change. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a general fund budget of $1,202,778, an other funds budget of $2,584,450, and a federal funds budget of $9,667,191, for a total funds budget of $13,454,419, 47 positions, 44.6 FTE, and that House Bill 5106 be amended accordingly.
Let's have a little discussion on the moving of the 3.5 FTEs to permanent position. They're limited duration presently, and there's some Representative Hansen, you're the actually the only one that was here when we had this discussion with them. Do you have any thoughts or feelings on whether or not there seemed to be a plan of action or a clear direction for the agency? And does you see any reason why they should possibly stay as limited duration until we get a business plan that comes? Or
well, Mr. Chair, I would imagine thinking those positions have been part of the agency for a long time until the budget shortfall. So I look at them as a permanent integrated integral part of the agency that was interrupted because of shortfall. I'm sure if we were basing the reestablishment by the e-board on other funds and donations, that would be a very good reason to have them starting out as limited duration, because there's sometimes it's hard to count on the permanency of that type of funding. Since they're moving back to the general fund, I would think that it would make a lot of sense to move them back to being non-limited. This is a question we spend a lot of time on, and I've often kind of questioned why. Every position that's funded in the budget is a limited duration two-year position. It has to be. The legislature looks at it. We can cut full position just as easily as limited duration position. So I question a lot of times we talk about trying to restrain the agencies as much as possible by making them limited duration or temporary. But certainly the budget makers 2 years from now can certainly cut those positions if they're not needed, or if the agency goes through comes in with a new work plan with a different configuration and need of for their employees, they can certainly be changed at that point. But if we intend on them being filled for the next 2 years, and they're people that are already, and there's no good reason to say that they're apt to go away, then I think they should be full-time duration.
Okay. Further discussion before we have a motion.
I would just second that. I had the same thoughts. I'm concerned about having people hired into positions that are viewed in two-year slots, because I think it takes too long to train and get up to speed every time you potentially lose some good people.
Okay. We would accept or entertain a motion to accept LFO's recommendation. One of you like to make that motion?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the LFO recommendations.
Representative Hansen has moved for the approval of LFO's recommendation for the budget on House Bill 5106. Is there any discussion?
Discussion, please. I just want to, at this point, recognize a potential conflict in that Automatic Vending Service is a vending company to which I am a member of the LLC, and I do business as a subcontractor through Commission for the Blind.
Virgin Hanna has indicated that there is potential conflict of interest in that his business has involvement with a vending company that has involvement with the Commission for the Blind. Do you have any direct financial gain from the specific amendments or motions?
No.
For this budget? Any further discussion? Is there anyone opposed to the recommendation that we accept LFO's recommendation? This motion is now carried. Next.
Mr. Mr. Chair, members, moving on to performance measures. The agency submitted 9 performance measures, and of course we're adding the 2 standard performance measures. In reviewing the performance measures, they appear to be primarily workload measures, and it's recommended that these measures be deleted but kept internally, and that the agency develop work on developing more outcome-based measures for the next legislative session.
Okay. The committee take just a moment, look through these, and see if there's any that you'd like to have further discussion on, and then we'll go ahead and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mrs. Monte, would you repeat your statement? They do need more performance measures. Is that what your statement was?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, that's correct. More outcome-based measures. These are good workload, and they're good measures, and they use them to manage their business. But I think the co-chairs were looking for more outcome-based measures this time around.
Thank you for that clarification.
Any questions?
Yeah. Question. As we're working through on the performance measures, and I'm assuming that we'll see this type of a situation on, will there be something in the budget narrative that tells the agency to work on developing more outcomes? Okay.
Yes.
And I'm happy.
Okay. Anybody accept your motion?
Mr. Chair, I move make a motion that the committee accept the performance measures and recommend do pass the full committee.
Ready for a full motion?
Yes.
Okay, it's been proposed by Representative Wisnett that the performance measure adjustments and changes proposed by LFO be accepted, and that House Bill 5106 as amended and be reported out with a due pass recommendation. A vote, please.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. House Bill 5106 is approved, passed, and President Wisnett, would you like to take that to our committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That closes the work session on House Bill 5106. And this time we'll open work session on House Bill 5107, which is the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Ms. Manthe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 5107 is the budget bill for the Office of Long-Term Care Ombudsman. This is probably the simplest budget that we've seen this morning. Basically, there's one policy package, 090. I have no technical adjustments. So 090 is simply the governor's smart buy savings. There was an reduction to eliminate non-match expenditures, and a one-time savings of general fund of $35,000, which is being backfilled with $70,000 of other funds out of the agency's ending balance. And the reason that I'm stumbling is because I've turned the page and realized, yes, in fact, I do have a technical adjustment. It's package 801. And it reduces the budget by $6,318 other funds to reflect the PERS rate reduction, and shifts $8,000 between in-state travel and employee training to align the budget more closely with actual spending patterns. With the technical adjustment and approval of package 090, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a general fund budget of $545,205 and other funds budget of $1,469,000 for a total funds budget of $2,014,205, 8 positions, 8 FTE, and that House Bill 5107 be amended accordingly.
We would entertain a motion to accept LFO's recommendations.
So moved, Mr. Chair. I approve the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5107.
Representative Hanson has moved that we accept LFO's recommendations to House Bill 5107 as they've been described. Any discussion? Any opposed? So carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on to performance measures, similar format to what we've seen for the other two agencies. The agency submitted, looked like 14 measures. We've added the two standard customer service measures, and we have several recommendations on measures to be deleted but kept internally.
Committee members, take a moment and just look through and see if there's any of the proposed changes in performance measures that you'd like to discuss.
Item 14, number 14 is one of those I thought we talked about keeping internally.
Okay, we're looking at performance measure 14, number of legislative, regulatory, and policy issues in which program had significant input. Do you have information on that?
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Hannah is correct. We did talk about that, and I think in other agencies, similar measures were deleted and kept internally. If memory serves, however, this one is so close to what it is that the agency does in terms of through their ombudsman activities when they see changes that need to be made. Either in the industry or legislatively, that this was so key to what the agency is responsible for that we thought it would still be a good measure for them to report.
Co-chairs discussed this or looked at these recommendations?
Yes.
Any strong feelings on that one?
I'm just bringing it up because I think we cut it because it was so broad and it really doesn't give us. I mean, if that was the only thing you looked at, it would tell you almost nothing. It just doesn't measure something particular, but I don't have a...
It can be an internal measure, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanson, you have a about making number 14 an internal measurement and delete it from being a performance measure.
I wouldn't lose sleep either way. It would seem to me it would be a pretty tough one to try and set a criteria for what was the significant influence.
Well, no strong feelings on it. What's LFO's recommendation having been a part of this conversation?
Mr. Chair, I can easily modify my recommendation to have this measure 14 added to those that are deleted and kept internally.
Okay. Why don't we have a motion then for the performance measures as amended, Representative Hanna? And then
yes. All right. I'd make the motion, Mr. Chair. I'd move that we approve LFO recommendation with amendment to item number 14, moving it from to an internal measurement.
Representative Hanna has recommended acceptance of LFO's recommendations, with the one exception that number 14 be deleted as a performance measure and hereafter be used for internal measurement only. Any discussion on this motion? Any objection? Hearing none, it's passed. We're now ready for a final motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 5107 be reported out to the committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Hanson moves House Bill 5107 as amended be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. If the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
Aye.
Representative Lisnett?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. So House Bill 5107, as amended, has been passed. And is there anyone who'd like to take this to our full House committee?
I'll do it with the other one up here.
Representative Wisnett will be the carrier. So that closes work session on House Bill 5107. And that also concludes our schedule of business for the day.
Chair. Yes. Mr. Chair, thank you. Mrs. Mente, Deborah, is that close? Am I doing pretty close?
My name?
Yeah.
Mante.
Mante.
I respond to anything.
Can we get the material for tomorrow's items ahead of time? Is there any chance to get that this afternoon?
The Psychiatric Security Review Board? You betcha.
Well, we have four on tomorrow, right?
I only have one in front of you tomorrow.
Okay. One on Children Commission, Children and Families. I've seen a draft of, got a draft of that. But I will go to LFO immediately following this meeting and make sure that
it would be very helpful to Representative Boone and myself.
Mr. Chair, will that be John or Sheila?
Sheila.
Will she be handling all of them?
It'll be one of the two of them handling the remainder of them besides the one Deborah has.
If you could take it back, it'd be nice to have that this afternoon, even late, just before we could come in tomorrow.
Yeah, is it the only thing up tomorrow? Is that budget?
No. What are the four work sessions that are scheduled for tomorrow?
State Commission on Children and Family, DHS rebalance.
Okay, now that's...
And IPGV.
Insurance Pool Governing Board.
Okay, and PSRB.
That would be mine. And I'll double check. I'm not sure that that's the most current schedule, but I will double check.
Whatever we need, we'll have. Okay.
Those are all pretty complicated budgets with a lot of issues
nice,
in them.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments, discussion?
I'm going to be missing tomorrow. I feel really bad, but that's the day I have to be excused.
Okay. Well, I understand. That's fine. Thank you for being here today.
Well.
It's been today. Without further discussion, we are adjourned.
But I still want the information.